He's the only coach that came to his interview riding a bicycle.
Yes, sir!
The opportunity that the kids have to play in such a historic rivalry.
You've ran a different defense every single week. He needs you to pick one.
Okay, it's that one.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so, large device or small. John here, Hannah there. And this week is going to be kind of fun because we took a bit of a different tack toward our two guests this week.
Well, last week we had on two friends,
yes,
which we did not know.
Yeah.
So in sticking with theme, now we have on two coaches in a big rivalry matchup across the field this Friday who were also friends.
Yep.
So it's going to be a really good podcast.
And one of them is going up against his alma mater. It's Baker Woodward. The head coach is Savannah Christian, and he's going up against his alma mater, Calvary Day. Mark Stroud, also the guest on the show. Both teams undefeated at the top of Region 3 AAA. And we kind of get to pull the curtain back on this rivalry a little bit and what it means to Savannah and the stars that are attached and things like that. But before we get into that and everything that happened last week, we have a new friend.
Yes, we do.
We have a new friend.
Some sort of Panther.
Yes, and it is from Jason McEachin and our friends at Portal.
Very cool helmet. So it's a white helmet.
Right, there we go.
Navy stripe down the top. Yep. And a Navy Panther on the side.
So there you go. Jason sent this.
Cool.
And so Jason McEachin
at
Portal.
Look at the inside of it.
Yeah.
It's like bright.
That looks like an
it's
off.
Like
well,
teal
all the
blue.
All the padding.
I know,
that's
but
attached
it's still
to it.
Like it's normally just.
This
black.
Looks like an offensive lineman helmet.
I mean,
it really does.
Pretty scratched
it's
up.
But so I mean, there's been some paint
pretty
trading.
Pretty banged up.
But no, but that's good stuff. And thanks to Jason at Portal, and this will be added to the set. Very, very cool there. So once again, if you want to show yourself off to the rest of the state, send us a helmet so we can have new friends. We like new friends. And so you want to reach out to us on social media. I'm at OSG Nelson, GPB at GPB Sports, GPBSports at GPB.org. She's Hannah C. Gooden.
Hannah C. Gooden.
Hannah C. Gooden on the Twitters. You can reach out to either of us at email, J. Nelson or H. Gooden at GPB.org, and let us share your helmet with the rest of the state. We like new friends, and we got our new friend here at Portal. So,
oh, cool. How'd you get this one?
Because I asked Jason. I asked Jason McEachin, I said, do you guys have a helmet that no longer meets spec that is just kind of hanging around in the field house? And he goes, yeah, I got one. And I'll put some new stripes on it and I'll send it to you. And so Jason said he worked on this one really hard and sent it to us. And here we go. So Portal is now added to the stacks.
Yeah. I also, when I think of Portal, I think of their flag football team. And we've got that coming up in
excellent
October.
Excellent plug.
Yeah.
Nice cross promotion
yeah.
there.
Yeah, we will be showing Portal flag football this October. Mm-hmm. So that'll be a lot of fun. All right, well, happy week five.
Happy week five.
Everybody.
Or week six.
Week five, according to GHSA.
Yeah, but we have teams that are 4-0, and we have a team in Marist who's already played five games. So how can it be week five if they've already played five games?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask the GHSA.
Calhoun's played five games. And so because it starts with zero. Zero, so this is technically week six. Because Marist has played every single week, Calhoun has played every single week, and they've played five games so far. So the numbering starts with zero. Zero, one, two, three, four, five. So it's like week six. Even though it's week five, it's the week six of competition.
Let's take a look back at next week's last week's.
So let's take a look. Let's take a look back at next week.
John, you've got me. I can't figure it out. I'm rattled.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what week it is.
Well, no, but there are reasons that you're rattled.
Okay. Because I did not sleep last night.
Correct.
Because my children are teething and kept me up all night.
Yes.
So I'm just hanging on by a thread today, guys.
Yes.
Okay. We are going to recap last week. It was Lowndes versus East Coweta, Garland Shoemake Stadium. The Indians beat the 16-point favorite Vikings 49-34 for its first win in six all-time meetings, three of which came in the playoffs, John.
Yep, and when you've got a pitch and catch combo that's responsible for six touchdowns. And some of those catches were pretty sick, by the way.
Yeah.
And so six touchdowns with a pitch and catch combo, and it wasn't all one way because the wide receiver ended up throwing a touchdown pass to the quarterback, too.
Unbelievable.
But, yeah, I mean.
Sophomore quarterback Christian Langford and his favorite target, senior wide receiver Brady Tillman. They were unstoppable.
That was, yeah, and Lowndes. I think the margin, first and foremost, the fact that the Lowndes was upset and then the margin, I think, surprised a lot of folks this past week where A lot of teams that were favorites did get the wins. A lot of big numbers were put up on the board, and I think that our game with East Coweta putting up the number that they did, I think stunned an entire state that they were able to do that against a Lowndes defense that has been pretty stout so far this season.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a quick look around the rest of the state. And my theme was Battle of Unbeatens.
Yes.
So all of these teams were about to talk about.
Yes.
John, just help me out on this podcast.
Yeah.
Just go with it, okay?
I'm going with it. That's why I'm having so much fun here.
Teams were 3-0 heading into last week.
Yes.
Okay, let's start with Cedar Grove Mill Creek.
Yep.
Playing for the first time ever, which I did not know.
But once again, Cedar Grove will play anybody.
I know, but I just thought I assumed they had played each other before. Wiped them out. 52-36.
Yeah, and this one was tight. It was 28-14 at one point, and then
broke away.
Then Mill Creek put the pedal down, and it was 52-29 late fourth quarter, and then you had another touchdown late. So big win for Mill Creek, Cedar Grove. And for Cedar Grove, by the way, Cedar Grove next week, or really this week, since mm-hmm. we're talking nexts and this is, Cedar Grove, they go to Colquitt County.
Ooh.
Once again, they're ready to play anybody, any place, anytime. And so, yeah, let's go to Moultrie, and that's what they're going to do.
And they're going to be hungry for some revenge after
That's going to be a great game to keep an eye on Friday.
Yes, we'll put that on our scoreboard. Let me make a note.
So she's going to make a note. What other games were on your board in the Battles of Unbeatens?
It was also the first meeting for Stars Mill and LaGrange. This one went to OT. Panthers pulled it out by 125-24.
Yep. Went for two, didn't get it. And so that was how you end up with the margin that you did. Great game there. And LaGrange, I'm sure, is going to be hovering around number 10 when it comes to your polls this week, when it comes to Georgia high school football. But a big signature win early on for Stars Mill, having to go to free football to do it.
Then two-time state champ Buford faced off with the Class 3A runner-up Carver Atlanta. The Panthers were leading at 16-15, halftime.
16-15, yeah.
Couldn't hang on to it, though. Couldn't maintain that stamina. Buford wins it 44-16.
22 points scored by Buford in the third quarter. Carver did not score any. Justice Haynes, 216 all-purpose yards. Three touchdowns of 50-plus. So a big offensive effort for Justice Haynes, and that's what a lot of folks are looking at. With Justice Haynes in the next level.
Over at Tiger Stadium, Elbert County defeated Washington Wilkes 32-20, and Troop handed Whitewater its first loss of the season 43-33. We had Tigers head coach Tanner Glisson. He was our first guest on the postgame show.
Teo Todd is a cheat code.
Yeah.
I feel like we should have that as a drop.
Duke County's Teo Todd was a human cheat code.
So a couple of bonus games, as always. Let me give our stream game score. Sandy Creek beat Collins Hill 33-17.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Avenue beated.
Defeated.
Beat? I'm going to go with
beat. Beat slash defeated.
I'm going with beated. Beated
yeah,
Elka 30-15.
Wasn't that
and
close.
And our fun post game,
mm-hmm.
bonus game.
Yeah.
Osborne goes 4-0, 70-8 against Clarkston. I don't care who it is.
Mm-hmm.
70?
Yeah. But I think that once again, this speaks
Osborne,
to what we're speaking more about Osborne and what they've been able to do, getting another win where three or four in a season is a banner year for Osborne. And this year they've got four out of the block. So it's great stuff that we're seeing out of the Cardinals there in Cobb County.
Wow.
Uh-huh. You want to start?
I'm an Osborne fan. Hey, I live in Smyrna.
Yeah, you do.
So
Lassiter grad and an Osborne fan.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk to our first guest?
Let's just get to it, John.
First guest, it's the Savannah Christian half of the equation with Savannah Christian and Calvary Day.
Hey, Coach Woodward. So you are an excellent head coach, but maybe an even better fisherman and outdoorsman. We've got to get right to your adventure YouTube page, and we want to play a clip for you.
Uh-oh.
Is that catfish?
I don't know. It's a big fish. It's a big fish. It's a bass. It's a big one. Oh, he's coming unhooked. Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay. So we thought we had to start the podcast off this way. What
yeah,
is it about
y'all
this fish?
You aren't supposed to know about that.
Tell me about your fishing activities.
Well, yeah, no, it's just obviously not all season. I have two boys, and my son Ford, he's 10 now. He loves to go fishing. I've grown up going fishing with my buddies from high school, and I just started a YouTube channel mainly to kind of document things for my family. Like when we go camping or we go on vacation down to St. Augustine, we put it up on YouTube to save some space on memory cards and stuff. But then it started to become like a little outdoor channel, and now I'm in a little competition with my buddy to see who can get the most subscribers, and I believe he's actually winning right now. During football season, I don't put out much content, so he's probably got me right now. So
okay, so what's the biggest fish you've ever caught?
The biggest fish, I mean, I guess size-wise, would probably just be a Atlantic sharp-nosed shark. But the biggest bass, I mean, I'm a big bass fisherman. The biggest bass I've caught probably is only about a 7.5 pound, 8 pound, maybe.
Only. Well, you say you're in competition. Tell everyone your YouTube page here so that they can go subscribe and we can get you some numbers.
We can help you out during football season.
I'm actually drawing a blank right now, but I think it's just Coach Woodward is the YouTube channel.
Okay. So
It is Coach Woodward on YouTube.
Okay.
So everybody go subscribe.
Right.
So that way we'll help you out with getting subscribers during football season when you're focusing on football and not on fishing and outdoorsy kind of stuff. All right. So now that we got the fun part out of the way, let's talk about your season so far. And I mean, right now this game that's coming up this weekend is a battle of unbeatens in Savannah with you and Calvary Day. And when you look at where your team is right now, how would you grade how you are right now at this part of the season heading into this game against Calvary Day?
Yeah, well, I think we're right where we want to be. I don't think we got here the most normal way, considering our first three games were all affected by weather.
Yeah.
You know, as going into game four, I was hoping to have at least played 12 quarters with our starters. But unfortunately, that just wasn't what was in store. I mean, we went into Friday night against Country Day with our starters only playing, including the scrimmage, 8 quarters. So they've only played a half all year long, whether we've, kind of blown out teams or we've had to stop the game at the halftime because of the weather. So that was scary to me. And, I'm looking at Country Day and I'm looking at all their film and they've played, three games and they're all 4-quarter games.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was worried from being in shape, are we in shape to go 4 quarters with somebody? And it proved, Friday night that we did make it 4 quarters, but there were several of our guys that had to sit out for a little while, being cramps or, just a little bit of nagging injury. So, but we did finish the game and we finished strong. And, if you tell me if we were 4-0, if I'd take that before the start of the season, I definitely would. It's the first time we've been 4-0 since I've been here, and I think it's the first time we've been 4-0 since 2014. So it's really a great start for the Raiders.
So when you go into this particular game, there's a couple of different layers to it. With your history with Calvary Day, being an alum, and going up against your old school, what's it like for you staring across the sideline at a bunch of familiar colors and a coach like Mark, who has been there for 15 years and coached save for the 1 year when Coach Tomberlin was there. What's it like going up against your alma mater?
Yeah, I mean, it's different. Of course, like when I played there, it was called MC Anderson Field, and now it's called the Specialty Sports Complex. And I didn't know that you could change the name of a field, but apparently you can. So it's different. The school has changed quite a bit. I was there. My mom dropped me off at nursery when I was just a baby, and then I graduated in I think 2000, and ended up working there and worked under some a great head coach named Danny Britt.
Mm-hmm.
And then took me with him to Benedictine and was at Benedictine for a long time. But I think the main thing about the game Friday night is just the opportunity that the kids have to play in such a historic rivalry. Rivalries are kind of, there's not many rivalries in Savannah. I mean, there's old time rivalries like, BC Savannah High, and that's done. That's not involved anymore. There's rivalries out on the west side with Effingham, South Effingham, but the Savannah Christian Calvary game is one of the biggest rivalries in the state. And what makes it even more interesting is, we're both undefeated. Mark Stroud does a great job, and he's got a really good team with
apparently over 80 players, which is just kind of unheard of for a single A. Well, now we're triple A, right?
Yeah.
For a school with only, you know, we have 420 students, and I think they have a little bit less than us. And, you know, they've almost got double the players that we've got. And so, but, you know, I think the biggest thing is it's just such a great experience for the kids. And, you know, when I played in that rivalry, I remember I was just a freshman and I got in the game late because we were winning, and you know, I think I committed a couple penalties, so it wasn't the greatest experience, but it was really cool to grow up playing in rivalry games between two private schools. And it's, you know, it's even better now coaching in it, because it's a great atmosphere. I mean, you know, the game Friday night, you know, the Savannah Christian side will be just packed. There'll be people on the track. There'll be people everywhere. And so it's just going to be a great experience for our guys. But, you know, I think at first when I got to Savannah Christian, it was a little weird. But now it's just like, hey, you know, I'm a Raider, man. When I could choose, I chose Savannah Christian. So, you know, that's just how it is now, you know.
Well, we're going to have Coach Stroud on coming up next, right after talking to you. What would you like to say to him or ask him about Friday night's game?
I know what he'd like to ask, and I don't know if Mark will agree to it. I know that Baker, you would ask him not to start his quarterback.
Well, you know, I'm not my defensive coordinator, Robert Walsh, he does a great job, and our defense, man,
he's got a plan, incredible. John.
Yeah, they're incredible. Our defense does so well. David Busey and Elijah Griffin just kind of lead our defense, and I wouldn't really ask him about the quarterback. What I would say is, hey, you know, Mark, are you going to pick a defense? I mean, you guys have been in a different defense every week. You know, can you just tell me what defense you're going to be in? because you know, we run the same defense, and apparently Calvary does not. And so I would just like to know. Now I'm just messing with Mark.
We will ask him. On your behalf, we will ask that question.
Yeah. No, him and I are good friends. I think what he does is great. He's not only a really good football coach, but he's an even better man, and he teaches those kids how to be good young man. And you know, he's just a great coach and a great guy. We've become friends through the years, even before I got to Savannah Christian. So,
well, thanks for hanging out with us.
Sounds like such a fun game.
Yeah,
I wish we could be there.
Well, I know. And so we'll be keeping an eye on this game, and we wanted to catch up with both of you because we know what this game means to the city of Savannah and rivalries there on the coast. And thanks for giving us the perspective from your sideline as we get ready for this game on Friday night. Thanks for hanging out with us on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, and also pulling back the curtain on your adventures in the off season. Thanks for doing a lot of that stuff with us.
Absolutely. I can't wait. You know, hopefully we have the best year I've ever had here at Savannah Christian this year, and then I'll start taking my kids fishing and hunting. So,
and then catch the biggest fish you've ever caught.
Well, I appreciate y'all having us, and we look forward to Friday night.
Thanks, Coach.
One coach down, one to go, and now it's time to catch up with the head coach of the Calvary Day Cavaliers. Here's our talk with Mark Stroud.
Hey, Coach Stroud. Okay, thanks for joining us. We just got off the phone with Coach Woodward, and he's got a question for you. He wants to know what defense you're running this Friday, because he says you've ran a different defense every single week, and he can't figure it out, and he needs you to pick one. So,
okay, it's that one.
Okay, that one. Got it.
Let him know.
So in the interest of equal time, you have a question that you wanted to have asked of him. Is this true?
Yeah, Jess, are they going to run counter Friday night?
Okay. Mm. All right, so it's pick a defense versus are they going to run counter? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when both of these fan bases and coaching staffs listen to the show, then they'll have the answers of the questions asked of each other.
Yeah,
100%.
So let me ask you this, and we got into it with Coach off the top. For those who've never seen this rivalry, around the state of Georgia, and this was one of the reasons that we wanted to focus on this game this week. For someone who has never seen Calvary Day in Savannah Christian, how would you break this rivalry down?
Well, for a lot of both of our fan base, that starts, you know, when our kids are really before the fifth grade, but certainly by the time they're in the fifth grade, we have fifth and sixth grade football. We both compete against each other there. You know, they go through seventh and eighth grade football, JV football, and really and truly probably even before that, we have a lot of our kids play in a certain organization, a lot of their kids play in an organization, so they're competing against each other for a long period of time. And so the fan bases themselves, you know, have this, you know, this the thing rivalries does to fan bases, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have that thing going on, and it's on fire. So it's a phenomenal rivalry. It's close proximity. Everyone knows each other. It's bragging rights for, you know, a whole year. I mean, you know, whoever wins the game is going to hear it for an entire year at every other sporting event. So it's a big deal for both schools. I mean, both schools have been successful and through the years, and you know, it's just always a measuring stick, and you just never know what's going to happen in the game either. I mean, one team could actually be better in the long run than the other team, but it has really very little bearing on the game. Tons of excitement. Everybody typically brings their best game to the game. Fans are wide open. They're excited. They're bringing their best to the game. So it's just, you know, it's everything you expect a rivalry to be, with all the ingrained things that have gone on just by these kids, a lot of the core kids knowing each other for a very long time.
Despite it being a big rivalry, Baker said you guys are friends. Do you pass notes? What's that relationship like?
Do you pass notes?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for Baker. I think he's a really good guy. I think he's a really good coach. He's done a very good job at Savannah Christian. You know, they're doing exactly what they need to do there on both sides of the ball. And, you know, I have a ton of respect for him as a coach, and I respect him as a person as well. I like him a lot. He's a good dude.
Do you remember your first round with this rivalry? I know you've been the head coach, say, for 1 year. I want to say for the last 15, 16 years when Coach T came in for that 1 year. Rick Tomberlin, do you remember your first version of Calvary Day in Savannah Christian?
Well, you know, I you probably remember, I came out of a very similar rivalry, maybe even, you know,
Tombs and Vidalia,
more hated. I was very accustomed to that kind of rival game where, you know, everything just kind of gets, it's like, you know, times two everything all week long. I mean, everything is times two. So you have to just kind of keep a lid on everything. You feel like somebody's going to do something foolish and outside of your control. So anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, having left that rivalry and coming right into this rivalry, you know, we played Donald Chumley was the head coach there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming into the rival game, we played the very first game in a pouring downpour here, and you know, we were just trying to get things going here. He had kind of gotten established there, and I think the game was ended up being like 14-8, and I think we went 4-6 that year, and they had a really good year that year. So that's a testament right there, right? I mean, that's kind of how the game can go. It was my first year here. We were trying to get things on track. We had about 32 kids on the team, and they had already established themselves as, you know, they were already, I think it was maybe Donald's second or third year, maybe something like that. And, somewhere in there maybe. And, he'd already gotten it going. So that was, you know, it was a great football game. That was the first one. And I think it was the next year was, a pretty good game. And the following year, we beat them for the first time, which I think is the year they played in the Dome. And we beat them 8-6 in a game at their place. And we think we went 8-3 that year. We finally were turning the corner a little bit here and getting things going here. So we went 8-3. We got bounced in the first round of the playoffs in a close game with Miller County. I'm pretty sure that they went to Dome that year. That would have been, I guess, in 2010 maybe.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, so you don't ever know what's going to happen in the game, right? I mean, we've gotten beat over there one time. I thought we had a little bit better team than they had on the last play of the game, basically. I mean, they beat us on a quick screen out to a guy that went to Minnesota to play for them. and with the game looked like it was in the bag for us, and crazy things happened at the end. So, you know, it's great. I mean, it's great. You know, I mean, you know, I woke up, you know, this morning feeling great because, I mean, you know, you look forward to games like this where kids are going to be super excited about preparation. Coach, everyone's excited. You know, we've said from the get go, we don't want this to be an experience where everybody's tightened up and everybody's worried to death and those kind of things. We just need to enjoy the journey and have a great time preparing and a great time getting ready for, you know, hopefully a great football game.
Well, this one could be one for the memory books too. Home game, you're both undefeated.
Yep.
You're 3-0, 1-0 in region play, ranked. Let's break down your season a little bit so far leading up to this one. You just began region play, got a 48-27 win over Liberty County. That's a great way to start it. Offensively, your quarterback, Jake Merklinger, was 8 of 12 passing for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns. You have Edward Coleman, 4 catches for 126 yards in that one. So offensively, it seems like things are working pretty well so far this season, Coach.
It's been a very weird year, but I totally agree with that. I mean, we played our first game, and we were able to get out of the blocks well, and so we had a running clock the first game. We got, you know, we didn't really play a complete game that game. Then the next game against Eagles Landing, you know, middle of the third quarter, we got lightning out.
Score, lightning, game over.
That's it. And it was really wild. And, you know, it was just, we waited for a long time. They find their administration finally made a decision for them to get out of here. So we played that game. Then we lost, you know, we didn't play the Frederica game.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bad weather, and we just could not get it rescheduled correctly. So it didn't work out for us there. So we, you know, going into the game with Liberty, I told somebody this morning, running early this morning, I said, you know, I felt like they were asking about, yeah, I felt like Rod Sterling was standing in the corner down there somewhere from you know, the old show, and all kind of bad things were happening the first half for us. The Twilight Zone, you know, where it hit us. Everything was going crazy. Had 4 turnovers. And the wheels looked like they were going to come off. You know, we went to that game and we're down at 19, I think, to 14 at half.
Yep.
And we came out and kind of exploded in the second half and got ourselves, which was a great testament to our kids.
Yeah.
They really, you know, they really just, and coaching staff too, everybody just was very calm, like, let's just get ourselves together here and fix this thing. And so, yeah, I know that's a long answer, but, you know, we haven't had a lot of offensive opportunities. But the offense has played really well. Russell DeMasi is the first-year offense coordinator for us, and he's come in from, you know, being an interim at Savannah State.
Right.
He was OC at Savannah State. He's done a really good job. We have a really good offensive staff. You know, our defense staff is doing really well. Justin Fields is our defense coordinator. And we have a lot of good guys around. Gil, Coach Chumley is over here with us from Savannah Christian as one of our defensive guys. And you know, those guys, you know, wouldn't – you know, Coach Fields wouldn't want to be called the defense coordinator because it's very much a collaboration on defense. Mm-hmm. But so we have a good group there. So, you know, again, offensively it's been good, but we've been really excited by our staff.
So then last question for you, and thanks for hanging out this week to kind of break this rivalry down. How would you grade, and I know that you're probably more naturally a tougher grader than most folks when it comes to your teams. If you were to grade where you are right now on offense, defense, and special teams, you can go 1 to 10, you can go A through F, you know, 1 to 100. How would you grade your three phases right now coming into this rivalry game?
Well, I think, you know, really, as we see, you know, it's just spots. You know, I think we're probably, you know, offensively, I think we're 6 or 7 in there somewhere. I think maybe defensively we're a little bit ahead just because of personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, special teams is, you know, we're a little bit, we got some areas to work on there. So we're probably hovering as a whole team around 6 or 7. Well, I think we can be. You know, I think we have, you know, if we're talking about where our ceiling could be, we're just moving a few more pieces around in the puzzle for our team. You know, I think we're hovering around 6 or 7 for our full potential in all areas, really and truly. Been good that we've had, you know, a couple of really good tests. I mean, we had Eagles Landing, and they've had some injuries after our game, I've heard. And so I don't know how their season's going to go, but they're really still a very quality football team. Great test for us there. And then having to really kind of bounce back the other night was a really good testimony to, gives, you know, those kind of games give you a picture of what your kids really are. And if you got some areas that are like are not as strong as they need to be, you find out very quickly. So we found some things out in the last couple of weeks, and we're going to try to address those and try to make that number get closer to our ceiling.
And one of the coolest things in catching up with Coach Stroud, Hannah, when I did Southern Swing, he's the only coach that came to his interview riding a bicycle.
Hey, got to get that exercise in.
Hey, I have it on hand right now as we speak.
I mean, literally, it was dress shirt, tie,
it's Savannah.
Bicycle.
Savannah, yes. I feel like you go everywhere in a bicycle.
I got places to be on campus there. Got to get there fast.
So he certainly does that. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us and breaking down this rivalry and your season to date so far. And we'll be keeping an eye on this one on Friday night. Thanks for hanging out with us on the show.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Do you think Coach Woodward would let me go fishing with him?
Absolutely.
That'd be so fun.
He absolutely would. And for
I'm
you,
a good fisherwoman.
For you to go, you're a good fisherman. Fisherman, fisherwoman, whatever the proper term is. You fish well.
Mm-hmm. I fish good.
You fish good.
I fish good, John.
Yeah. And I bet you that if you tried to keep up with Coach Stroud on a bicycle on that campus, it would be a difficult task.
Oh, he would beat me in a bicycle.
I mean,
when's the last time you've rode a bicycle?
Probably when I broke my leg.
Legitimately, can't even remember.
When I broke my leg junior year in high school, it's probably the last time I rode a bike. Hmm. Mark Stroud comes riding up, and it's this Trek bike too. I mean, it's not like this. You know, I didn't one of those 10 speeds. You know, with the curly handles.
Picturing
like he's running
like a little bike, like a blue.
No, it wasn't a Schwinn with a bell on it. But I mean, it literally, it's like one of those Trek bikes. You know, it looked like he was ready to do whoop-de-doos and head over to Tybee.
Like
I mean,
mountain bike.
Yeah, it looked like a mountain bike. It was a Trek bike.
Intense.
It wasn't one of those Tour de France things. Okay. But no, it was.
That's what I was picturing.
No, you just said you were picturing a swing with a bell. So,
not the ones with the big wheels
and the big loop in the back, the big metal loop in the back with the high back and the chair.
Yeah.
See, you're amusing yourself on this show this week. I see how this works.
Oh, I need to get some caffeine.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
All right. So get to the previewing part.
We are going to preview.
Yeah.
Week 5 or week 6?
Sure.
Once I get some coffee, I'm going to figure out what week we're in.
Sure.
Milton at North Cobb, John.
Yes.
This should be a good one. And you are back on the sidelines?
I am back on the sidelines for this one. 2-2 versus 2-2. And Shane Queen has had to figure out how to do things offensively without star quarterback Malachi Singleton, who I think is out for another couple of weeks.
Okay.
And it was a tough loss for them in overtime. Big win for Northside. Warner Robins had Chad Allgood on the postgame show on the drive back. And that was a... That was a fun interview. Went to overtime on the road, got the win. So North Cobb at 2-2, Milton beating Alpharetta. Milton was in a tough game for about 2.5 quarters and then put the pedal down third and fourth, and they beat Alpharetta by 15. So it'll be a good one there at Emory Sewell Field on the campus of North Cobb High School.
Friday night, 7:30, recruiting 2022 at 7 on our web game. Warner Robins at Houston County. And Warner Robins,
mm-hmm.
John.
Yeah, Dutchtown.
Do we call this the surprise of the week, losing to Dutchtown 14-7?
I think so, but at the same time, when you look at Dutchtown, you get to see, and I had folks that were there. Our buddy Chaz Dixon was there, and he's texting me and he's DMing me the whole time, and he goes, Dutchtown's defense is for real.
I mean, they're 5-0, so there has to be something there.
Yeah, Dutchtown's defense is for real. That was what he literally,
obviously.
In like all caps, you know. It's like, so Chaz was there at the MAC, and he said, keep an eye on Dutchtown. And so I think that's going to be an interesting race in that region with Dutchtown. And you got Warner Robins and Jones County, and that game late in the year is going to be that much more important. But yeah, Dutchtown is for real.
Yeah, no, they are. So I'm keeping their eye on them,
mm-hmm.
and of course on Warner Robins to see if they can bounce back against Houston County on Friday. They're 1-3.
Freedom. Well, but once again, it's the competition. If you're a state champ, it's going to be difficult for folks to want to come and play you.
Yeah, I know.
And Houston County.
I feel like they did this last year. They had a little rocky spot, and then once they got to region play,
This is the point that I make to folks about season one, mm-hmm. is that this is where when you have coaching turnover, and remember, Jeremy Edwards was the OC at Warner Robins, and now he and two other Warner Robins coaches are now part of the staff at Houston County. You just sort it out here in the non-region schedule to get yourself ready for region play.
Yeah, and we talked to him about that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, staff whip around time.
Okay, so staff whip around. You have the information?
I have the information.
Of course you do. Hey, Lakeside was off.
Lakeside was off.
We did not win or lose. So we're still at 3-1.
So you're 3-1.
Yep.
Well, Lassiter lost. 35-3.
Uh-huh.
To Dalton.
Yeah. So what does that
mean? So I lose the week.
Well, so
based on the score, I personally lost the week.
What, at a minus 32?
We're 2-2.
We're doing goal difference now?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
I'm just feeling like a loser today.
Wow.
So I'm just going to say that I lost.
Commander Sandy, are you listening to this?
I am. I think poor Hannah. We do need to get her some lunch or something.
We need to get her some caffeine and some lunch. And
we need to wrap this show up.
See, and this is in front of the full staff whip around, too.
And a new intern. I'm so sorry.
And the intern. We have Ambassador Jeremy here.
I know.
We have the intern.
I know.
Jake the Snake, King James, Commander Sandy. They're
today.
All here.
I said.
You just need caffeine.
Feeling like a loser today. My performance is not on point.
So you give yourself a C- or something?
Oh, worse than that.
All right.
Okay.
So we'll move on.
Decatur lost 31-14 to South Gwinnett to go 1-4.
Ryan Lamar's doing really well in his season out there at South Gwinnett so far.
That's kind of surprising. I didn't realize they were 1-4.
Graduation. I mean, it's graduation and trying to enter. Once again, we're talking about how you're doing things in your non-region schedule. Decatur's another example of that.
Parkview going strong, won 28-21 over St. Pius.
No, they won 38-21.
Thank you, John.
10 more points.
38-21 over
St. Pius
to go. So you're
short-selling Parkview and Coach Godfrey with their win.
The 3-2 is a little blurry.
See what she's doing, Snake?
It's all a little blurry.
Yeah.
Central Macon lost 19-26 to Rutland to go.
Or 26-19.
0-4.
But
I was reading it how Sandy sent it to us.
Okay.
So she said 19-26. So that's what I'm reading.
Okay.
I read what's in front of me, John. Darlington won. Hey, got a winner. They're,
Ambassador Jeremy got the win.
41-33 over Northwest Whitfield to go 4-0. So Darlington, Parkview are the leaders of the staff whip around, 4-0.
Yes. And let's see. So by the way, we have new friends for Hannah this week. In addition to a new friend for the studio, we have new friends for Hannah.
That'll make me feel better.
And for those who are watching this on YouTube, you're going to see me violate a television tenant and duck below the table here.
You're always doing that, though, John.
Yeah, I know. All right. So, is
that a hat?
Yeah, it's a hat. And it's not just a hat.
Okay.
This is from our friends at Lumpkin County.
Oh, that is so cool.
This is Lumpkin County Indians up there in Dahlonega. Heath Webb off to a great start. And so here's
black hat.
Yeah.
With a gold Indian, and he has purple in his feathers.
Yes, and it's a trucker lid, so it's I always like trucker lids these days. And so
awesome, thank
you. That goes to Hannah.
You haven't gotten me a hat before,
and so does this.
Oh, that looks like a soft shirt. Ooh, gimme.
So
gimme. Can I put this on?
Yeah, you can put it on right now. It's perfectly fine.
Like a blanket.
Yeah, so right
it's
there.
Very large.
Lumpkin. It's an extra large, by the way.
This is so soft. Okay, it's purple. Purple with the LC on the front.
Uh huh.
And nothing on the back.
Yeah,
so this is awesome.
Yes,
thank you. This is one of those really soft ones. This is like the Jefferson shirt that I wear all the time.
See?
Yes, this is my new favorite one.
And so our friends at Lumpkin County up in Dahlonega have really helped Hannah out with her wardrobe again for another week.
Yes, I started a new drawer for everyone concerned.
As you should have.
I have a new football
t-shirt. As you should have.
And hey, I'm wearing our new Football Fridays in Georgia t-shirt this year.
Would you like to model it from behind and get away from the microphone so folks can actually see? There you go.
It's Georgia. It's the state of Georgia.
Okay.
There we go. As a field.
There you go.
And then it's got our logo over it. So.
Okay. So there you go.
Yeah. It's a t-shirt day.
Yes, it definitely is a t-shirt day.
It is.
Is there anything else on your mind before we go?
All right, let's go.
Did you hear that? Okay, fine. We'll just go. So for Jake the Snake, for Commander Sandy, for Ambassador Jeremy, for our intern whose name I need to know, and for King James, I think that's everybody, isn't it?
Well, what's the intern's name?
So, and intern Evelyn.
Thank you.
So there we go. So intern Evelyn, and for Hannah, who's in dire need of caffeine, I'm just John. Be sure, once again, Recruiting 2022, Friday night, 7 o'clock on GPB, GPB.org, and the GPB Sports app. Football Fridays in Georgia at 7:30. You can watch both games on GPB.org. Milton and North Cobb. That is our number one game on GPB TV at 7:30. Kickoff about 7:36 or so, and we'll keep you up to date with everything going on in the evening, because when the game is over, it's not over. We got the post-game show after that, brought to us by our friends at Buckle Up Georgia. So for everybody here behind the glass who's going to go run out and get Hannah caffeine, play it safe, everybody. Enjoy your games.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.